So as the title tells you, this talk is going to be a reanalysis of the electroweak radiative corrections that are needed to be known in order to analyze the NUTEF experiment and extract the weak mixing angle, or rather it's the square of its sign from neutrino nucleon scattering. Now the outline of this talk is the following. I will start with an introduction and give you the relevant relations that allow you to extract the weak mixing angle from the experiment, basically. Then I will discuss some issues or subtleties that one need to be careful with in the calculation of the order alpha corrections. I will then present numerical results, namely two sets of results. First of all, results that we have obtained with a modern, up-to-date choice of input parameters, and then one set of results which is intended to be compared directly to an older work, which is the basis of the NUTEF analysis. And as the last point here, I will conclude. Now there are two relations. They're called R nu and R nu bar that allow you to relate the ratio of the neutral current to charged current neutrino and anti-neutrino cross-section to a very simple expression in the weak mixing angle, or rather the square and the fourth power of its sign. The first relation has its input basically here on the left-hand side, the neutrino neutral current and charged current cross-section, and the other one has the corresponding cross-sections with anti-neutrinos in the initial state. And these are the so-called Llewellyn-Smith relations. Now, one advantage of relating the pseudo-observable to this ratio is, of course, that in the ratio of cross-sections, certain systematic uncertainties cancel. However, as is indicated by that approximate sign up there, these are not real equalities because you have to make some approximations in order to obtain this relation. Namely, first of all, it's leading order in the perturbative series. Then you only consider valence quarks to contribute to that scattering cross-section. Also, you have assumed a perfectly isosymmetric nuclear target that you dump your neutrino beam onto, and you have assumed basically a contact interaction, massless quarks and leptons, and you integrated out the whole phase space. So there's quite a few assumptions that go into these relations. As I said, in the ratio of the cross-sections, there are some systematic uncertainties that cancel. However, one would like to do better in order to achieve even higher precision. And the best thing to try to do is to get rid of the C quark uncertainties in the parton density functions, because that's still a problem in the ratios R nu and R nu bar. And the ratios still suffer from uncertainties from charm production and charm mass uncertainties. And there are, of course, higher orders in perturbation theory that I have not taken into account. Now, there's a remedy for some of these problems concerned with R nu and R nu bar. That is to consider, instead of the Llewellyn-Smith relation, the Paskus-Wolfenstein relation that is given here. Here you consider the ratio of differences of cross-sections, and it is still approximate, of course. There's again an approximate sign up there. So let me first tell you what approximations you still have in this relation. It is still leading order, a perfectly isosymmetric nuclear target, you still have a contact interaction between the two Fermioni currents. The quarks and masses are the quarks and leptons are massless, and you integrate it out over the full phase space. However, in the difference of the two cross sections, where one is basically the charge conjugate of the other, uncertainties from C quark distributions drop out if they're charge conjugation symmetric. So that's a big advantage. And also, if you think about producing in the charged current mode, producing a final state charm quark, you find that if the strange density drops out, if it's charge conjugation symmetric, then the only way to produce a charm is, of course, from a d quark then, and that implies in turn that the charm production is could be suppressed. Okay, so the lesson is that basically R nu is systematically preferable in comparison to R minus is systematically cleaner in comparison to R nu and R nu bar. And in principle, one should be able to achieve about per mil accuracies.
When you say systematically cleaner, theoretically systematically cleaner.
Well, that's of course a different issue. I mean, if you could extract the number.
Since the experiment actually doesn't use the fastest working relation, you have to conclude that for them the other ratios are easier to perform.
That's right. I mean, the actual extraction of the number from the number of events that are measured in the experiment is a little bit of a different issue. That's right. However, they also employ this relation. If you read their paper carefully, they suggest that they really employ this Pascal-Wolfenstein relation.
Well, what they say is that they're inspired by it.
Okay, it's a pity we don't have anyone from the collaboration here. They don't use it exactly as I introduced it. That I agree on, yeah. That's right. Okay. Now, however, and this will be related to the extraction of the weak mixing angle. They use something similar to that relation. It's not exactly that. That's right. And they also employ the charged current, the ratio of the charged current cross sections with an initial state neutrino and antineutrino. I have not told you about that either. They also use that, but the basic point, and this is how I want to proceed, is that no matter how exactly you implement the relation or how exactly you extract that number from data, you have to have increased statistic, of course, because you have to have a neutrino and an antineutrino sample. That is clear. And you have to be able to, a priori, distinguish, of course, neutrinos from antineutrinos. Otherwise, you can't determine the cross-sections. Okay. So this is an approximate statement then, after what we learned. The Nutef experiment uses something like the Pascal-Wolfenstein relation in order to determine the weak mixing angle, or in the on-shell scheme, the W boson mass. And what you see here is a comparison between direct and indirect measurements of the W boson mass, and you can clearly tell that the Nutef experiment is off by it's almost 3 sigmas here. And the question is then, of course, how can one understand that discrepancy, or where does it come from? I will now again, like with the NUTEV experiment itself, I'm not an expert on the things that I present here, so you might wonder why I'm talking about it at all. That's right. That's a good question. I thought for completeness reasons, it might be good for you to just briefly look at what I put down here. These are things that were discussed in the literature related to that issue of the anomaly. And there is, first of all, of course, the uncertainty in the strange distribution. And that was discussed extensively already by now. I think there is no final conclusion on that issue. The thing is that if the strange distribution is not charge conjugation symmetric, then this will spoil the cancellation between the cross section and the charge conjugate cross section, basically. If one wants to be more precise, it's really the second moment integral of that anti-symmetrized S minus S bar density that has that effect. Like I said, I think there's no real conclusive answer as of now in the literature. Then also, I said that one needs isosymmetry in order to extract the weak mixing angle to high precision through that relation. Of course, isospin violations, meaning that the U content of the proton is not equal to the D content of the neutron, will have an impact on the extraction of the weak mixing angle from data. That has also been discussed by various authors. I think the collaboration itself states that it's a tiny effect and need not to be further investigated, but other people apparently disagree. Then there were nuclear effects discussed that could have an impact on that. There is, of course, target non-isoscalarity because the iron target is not perfectly isoscalar, so one has to correct for the neutron excess in the ion nuclei. And then there were other things that were also put forth. Of course, if in the model the neutrino Z couplings were reduced by some mechanism, then that would lead to a lower neutral current cross-section, and it would have the desired effect to explain the anomaly. Then there are extra non-mixing Z primes. Neutrino oscillations, I think that's pretty much excluded due to reactor neutrino data. And there were also other more or less exotic explanations on the market. Now, I would like to present the sources of uncertainty in the analysis as stated by the collaboration itself in this reference here. So they considered different sources of uncertainty you can see here, and their effect on first the sine of the weak mixing angle squared, and then the shifts in the uncertainties in the ratios R nu and R nu bar that I showed you before. And what I want to focus on in the remainder of the talk is, of course, the uncertainty due to radiative corrections. And I would like to point out that what is called here a total model uncertainty are basically the theoretical uncertainties that go into that analysis. And the uncertainty in radiative corrections, as it is stated there in the reference, that should comprise for uncertainties due to higher order QCD as well as QED correction. So it's really the total higher order uncertainty, basically. And you can already tell by looking at this number that this is remarkably small. I mean, it's 5 times 10 to the minus 5. And this number is directly related to the shift in the ratio of the two cross sections due to the inclusion of higher order corrections. And well, we're going to come back to that point later. How were these uncertainties evaluated? Well, that is, of course, important to know. Up to up to our reanalysis, there was only one calculation that the analysis relied on, the experimental analysis, and that was by Bardeen and Dokusheva. They also provided a code for the Monte Carlo that was used. And there was no second independent calculation of the electroweak radiative corrections, and the error that I show you here, or at least the electroweak part of it, was determined exclusively by varying the input into that code that had been supplied and seeing what the variation of the input parameters would do on the final answer. So definitely, I think it would be desirable to have a second independent calculation, and that is what we did.
There was a calculation in 1981 without QCD effects.
QCD, that's right.
But there was a calculation of the electroweak correction of the dependency factor in 1981.
These calculations were never compared.
What?
These calculations were never compared to Bardeen and Dokusheva.
No, they were primarily.
Yes, no. There are also approximations in the master.
Yeah, but I want to say there was not only one calculation, there was a second. I don't know whether they compare with us or not.
Okay, was that a differential calculation? I mean, could it have been used in the analysis?
Was Marciano, in 1981.
Yes, but that's a total cross-section, isn't it? That's a total cross-section.
Yeah.
Yes, but you need differential distributions. Okay, so let me just briefly go over some points concerning the calculation itself. You see the leading order Feynman diagrams for neutral current and charged current scattering. The total cross section then at next leading order can be just written as a sum of different contributions from virtual and real corrections, where the virtual corrections consist of genuine loop corrections and counterterm contributions. The real corrections can be split somewhat arbitrarily into hard and soft photon radiation and a term that I call sigma call from initial state mass factorization. I will come to that later. And I want to tell you that in our analysis within the collaboration, there were two completely different calculations and two completely different computer codes in order to make sure that the result is really reliable. And the results were also obtained with different tools. Now, because this will be of some importance later on, I want to talk about the structure of divergences and singularities of the result that you obtain for the electroweak corrections. Of course, you have to treat UV divergences. Standard procedure, we dimensionally regularized and added the on-shell scheme counterterms to cancel them. Then you have infrared divergences. You can introduce a small photon mass and observe the cancellation in this sum up here. In order to separate hard from soft real radiation, you can introduce an energy cutoff in photon energy and equally observe the cancellation in this sum here. And then you have, like in QCD, in the initial state from collinear radiation of photons, collinearly emitted to one of the charged initial state particles, or rather the initial state charged particle, the quark. And this leads to if you regularize that, with a small quark mass, this leads to mass logarithms that are in your calculation, and these mass singularities have to be taken care of somehow. And what we did was analogous to the procedure in QCD. We introduced a mass factorization and subtracted those logarithmic terms. Now the same applies to collinear final state radiation. And there, the issue is related to what I will talk about in more detail later, photon recombination, in that you have to ensure that the observable that you really consider is inclusive enough in order for the Kinoshita-Lee-Nauenberg theorem to apply, so that the different the singularities in the different parts of the cross section, the different ingredients cancel. Okay. I want to say that we use different input parameter schemes in the calculation of the virtual corrections. There are different ways, of course, to parameterize the couplings of the scheme, and that leads to different counterterms for the charge renormalization. In principle, as I said, the calculation is pretty straightforward. It's standard. However, there are two points that one should be careful about, and these issues are related to the fact that if you integrate out the whole phase space, the photon propagator here in the T channel, of course, looks divergent, because if 1 over T and you integrate over all T, where 0 is the upper limit. And so you have to make sure that the form factors FV and F sigma that describe the vertex correction and the photon Z self energy, that they vanish fast enough numerically, just in order to avoid numerical uncertainties. And one way to do that, that's as of now only a technical problem. One way to do that is just to use, in the limit of t going to 0, to use the exact limit, introduce some artificial cutoff, and evaluate the exact limit of the product of a form factor times the 1 over t from the photon propagator in the t channel. And then you observe that this, in the limit of t going to 0, will be a finite expression. And then you vary your cutoff and make sure that the final answer does not depend on that cutoff. And then you're sure that you don't have any uncertainties arising from this problem here. Now, what appears here in the form factor of the gamma Z self energy is the derivative with respect to the momentum squared evaluated at Q squared equal to 0. And that is the second issue that I want to talk about, only very briefly. That's in principle a non-perturbative quantity, and you need some non-perturbative input. We were, to some extent, a little naive about that, because we used the basically the perturbative expression and inserted quark masses that were fit to reproduce the hadronic vacuum polarization. This is not the best thing that you can do. There are better things that one can implement here. We have not done that. We used a naive approach. However, the effect is very small, as you can imagine, because it's only a tiny region of phase space where this contributes at all. Now, I told you about initial state mass factorization. It's well known from QCD how that works. You introduce basically a counterterm to your parton distribution, and that counterterm is set up in a way to cancel the logarithmic quark mass uncertainties that you encounter. We have explicitly used an MS bar counterterm here, and then that contribution sigma call that I talked about before is defined just as the convolution of the Born cross-section with this counterterm. And this PFF is the corresponding splitting kernel that looks like the corresponding QCD splitting kernel, except for some prefactor. Now, this sounds better than it is, really, because we're talking about electroweak corrections, and we don't have next leading order corrected QED parton densities at hand, and that means that in principle it's not really a well-defined procedure, or it's rather incomplete, because the artificial factorization scale dependence that you introduce is not in any way reduced by using next to leading order QED corrected parton densities. However, this was the best that we could do. Because now the code is ready for implementation of real next to leading order QED corrected parton densities, and we also could check numerical cancellation of the initial state quark mass dependence. also by these authors here, the error that we make in that procedure was assumed to be relatively small. Now, as an important difference to the existing calculation, we use the MS-bar procedure, which is well-defined. However, in the older work, the initial state mass factorization was, in a way, trivial. By using an initial state quark mass that was set equal to x times Bjorkane x times the nucleon mass. Now I want to talk about photon recombination briefly. The NUTEP experiment uses a cut on the final state hadronic energy that is deposited in the calorimeter, and it only takes into account events that deposit between 20 and 180 GeV of energy in the calorimeter. Now, if you want to mimic that in a calculation, that cut, then you have to think about what final state energy is really to impose the cut on, of course. Now, you could use the final state quark energy to implement the cut, or you might as well choose the final state quark energy plus the real photon that is emitted and cut on the sum of those energies. That is the second variant. And thirdly, you could implement some sort of recombination scheme and recombine if the emission of the real photon is within a certain angle of the charged final state fermion. So I will very briefly show the quantities that I will later on show numbers for. Recall the Llewellyn-Smith relation, and then imagine that you would now want to take into account variations of these two cross-sections due to inclusion of higher orders. Then you find that this induces, of course, a variation on the square of the weak mixing angle. And as it is defined in the literature, the delta sine squared theta w is related to, through some prefactor, to the shift in the neutral current and charge current cross-section here in this ratio. And there's a little sign difference between these two equations that has basically historical reasons and need not to be considered here. So the important thing is that just the shift in the weak mixing angle can be directly related to the relative size of the radiative corrections. So I come to numerical results. We've used massless quarks outside of closed fermion loops, leading order parton densities. The factorization scale was set to to the root of minus t or q squared. We've used the neutrino beam energy fixed at 80 GeV. And the final state hadronic energy cut was, in order to compare with previous work, was adjusted just as a bound at 10 GeV. So we require to have more energy than 10 GeV in the calorimeter. We use different input parameter schemes. The classical on-shell scheme with the fine structure constant alpha at zero and the counterterm defined in the Thomson limit, and also alpha atom Z, where you have to perform this shift here with the counterterm, and the coupling parameterized through G Fermi, we have to subtract 2 times delta R from your counterterm. Now, the first set of numbers that I want to discuss is, there's a lot of information on that transparency, that is the set of results that we have obtained for an up-to-date choice of parameters, and we compare the results obtained for different implementations of the final energy cut. And this is what you have within these three tables. So table 1 is the cut on the final state quark, table 2 on the sum of quark and photon, of real photon energy, and here the cut on the recombined energies. Now within each such table, we compared results obtained with different input parameter schemes, that is IPS, input parameter schemes. Here you have the leading order ratio and the relative correction to the neutral current and charge current cross sections. Now, the main lesson from this is basically that you can estimate the scheme dependence, and you will get a feeling of the impact that the different implementations of a final state energy cut has on the final answer here in the shift of the of sine squared theta w. Now, the scheme dependence is about 5 times 10 to the minus 4, and the final state energy cut dependence is 3 times 10 to the minus 3. And to remind you, the NUTEF total theory uncertainty is one order of magnitude smaller than the electric input parameter scheme dependence that we obtain. Now, concerning the final state energy cut, I think one has to look into the Monte Carlo to see if that was implemented correctly. We do not claim that this is the explanation for the anomaly, but we just want to indicate that this is an important point and one has to make sure it's done correctly. Okay. I want to also show you the result of a tuned comparison with the earlier result by Baldin and Dokusheva. We have adopted different input parameter schemes. I have no time to discuss that in more detail. And we have adopted their mass factorization, initial state mass factorization, which I call BD, and we use MS bar. And then we compared the final answers. And what is shown in blue is the original reference. What is shown in red is what we think should match this result in our calculation, because this is their setup if we interpreted the paper correctly. And I only show the result for the cut on the hadronic final state energy. The dependence on the implementation of the final state energy cut is not shown. It is again about 4 times 10 to the minus 3. The dependence with this set of parameters on the factorization scheme is even a little larger, 8 times 10 to the minus 4. The dependence on the input parameter scheme is again of the same order of magnitude, but I think the most important thing is that we did not manage to exactly reproduce the result, although we tried pretty hard. In other words, we cannot exclude a systematic difference between their calculation and ours, although we tried to adopt their setup. Now, I very briefly go over some open issues that we did not address in our work. We've contacted the authors, but we cannot make sure that the comparison is really meaningful, because we don't know if the setup is exactly the same in both cases. And we have neglected charm mass effects. We implemented that in one half of our code, but it's not yet checked. Now, if one has a non-vanishing charm mass, one can worry about CKM matrix effects. Then there is the issue of strange and charm PDF uncertainties that we have not addressed either. The QED corrected parton densities were not available. We've made a small mistake there. And finally, a very important thing that we did not address also, but which should be investigated, is definitely the total theory error due to higher order electroweak corrections. Okay, to conclude, I talked about some issues or subtleties related to the order alpha electroweak corrections, mainly this non-perturbative quantity here that one needs as input for the neutral current cross-section. I explained our procedure concerning initial state mass factorization, and I said that there were different ways of implementing the final state energy cut as is used by the experiment. Then I showed you numbers for the different input parameter schemes that we obtained, and the scheme dependence is already one order of magnitude larger than the total higher order error as quoted by the NUTEF collaboration. The cut on the final state energy of course, has even a larger effect that's due to those logarithmic terms that survive if the observable is not completely inclusive, is not inclusive enough, to remind you, one would need 5 times 10 to the minus 3 to resolve the discrepancy between NUTEV and the rest of the measurements. And the NUTEV total theory error, I said that, is one order of magnitude smaller than what we obtained as a scheme dependence only. We could not reproduce exactly the result of the previous work by Bardeen and Dokusheva, although we attempted a tuned comparison. I showed you some open questions, and as a final conclusion, maybe the NUTEV error should be reanalyzed in the light of this analysis. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if you use your radiative corrections, what value of sine squared would you get?
Well, the thing, it was pointed out before that it's not so easy to extract the number from the ratio of cross sections. I mean, you would have to run the full Monte Carlo with our new mm-hmm. code, basically, in order to make a meaningful statement, I think. Yeah. I mean, you could look at the sign of the effect or the discrepancy. But I think we didn't comment on that in our paper because we wanted to be conservative about the issue.
Now, with respect to the old papers, you see there were two. One on the neutrino deep in elastic scattering through neutral currents.
Yes.
And a second one in 81 on the charge current. And there we discussed the effect of cuts.
Yes.
So it's not completely the total construction. We discussed what.
You did. Okay.
In the chart current case. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, those papers were used for a long time to predict the mass of the W and the mass of the Z because the input was sine square of theta. So we were getting sine square of theta from these two processes and then use delta R in the muon decay mm-hmm. to predict the mass of the W, of course, with large errors, but in principle. So maybe it's a good idea to take a look at the older papers. So they're probably
and to check again with the numbers.
The Bardeen paper is later.
Okay.
There were no numbers in the table.
Coffee break discussion.
So this issue of not reproducing the Bardeen results, I mean, I would have thought that you could do some Fortran archaeology. After all, there is a code which NUTEV used.
You know what? We contacted the authors and we asked for the code. However, we didn't get it up to this point. And I also contacted explicitly the collaboration and asked for them to cut out the part that was relevant for our comparison and let us use it. But this didn't happen and
they didn't give it.
So we couldn't do anything about it.
The point was, I was talking to Bardeen personally, of course, and he is highly interested in the comparison. First, he himself cannot remember the full input. So we have to include some guesses on the precise input.
In a sense, it's not even really relevant what Bardeen is. All the terms are what you get.
There, we have actually no answer at all because.
We don't respond.
Well, as Kai has said, they have no real contact to us up to now, at least. And what they also told, what Bardeen told me, they just took the Bardeen code and they never contacted him after implementing the code. Well, that's what Bardeen told me. So there's no real interaction. Well, there was no real interaction. Okay, nevertheless, we now tried to. Anyway, the entertainment is still coming. Now, we tried to compare to the Bardeen result, and we suggested, well, Dima, just take your old code and let it run, and we will see what happens, without any input of the old calculation. Then he tried that, and he told me, after half an hour trying to reanimate the old code, he got so sick that he decided to write a new one. And this is still to come in the next few weeks. So we are in touch with Bardeen, and he's doing a new calculation. He's practically through, and we're just in the middle of fine-tuning everything.
We started the comparison already.
That is definitely true, and so you see the final point. The Newtiff error definitely should be reanalyzed.
This is important to check.
Well, I contacted Kevin McFarlane on that issue. Well, we had some emails going back and forth, and my last email was the one in which I asked for the part of the code relevant for comparison with our result, and that was not answered up to that point. However, this is months ago. So. Sam Zeller? Yes. Yes. I hope for more communication within the collaboration.